Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Hope everybody had a good weekend and a good long extended weekend. That is 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me coming up in about 30 minutes. Joining us here in the Fair Hope Bureau, State Representative Jennifer Fidler will be with us. And we'll talk about her trip to D.C. We'll do some America 250 stuff and whatever else is going on in the district. Catch up with her in about 30 minutes here at the Fair Hope Bureau from WVNN in Huntsville, Alabama. Dell Jackson, I'm sure we'll hear about his firework display, or I'm sure it was spectacular, whatever it was that went on in Huntsville, Alabama over July 4th, but we'll talk to him. And then, not far down the road from Dale, Parker Griffith, the official Democrat response of the Jeff Poor Show, will be with us. So make sure you stay tuned for that. I guess 4th of July, America 250, and it was spectacular as anyone would have imagined. At least it looked that way on TV. The firework, and this is coming off of, like, we did a couple of fireworks trips. Well, not really trips. We did, obviously the Fairhope fireworks at the Bay on Saturday night. It's always fun, especially the whole family goes. And then, the 5-year-old and I told y'all we were going to Atlanta. We made the trip to Atlanta. Hit a couple of Braves games, but every Braves game, home game on Friday nights, has a fireworks show. That's sort of the baseline for me. And maybe that sets the bar a little too high. But we got inundated with fireworks. We haven't graduated to an age where I think we could do our own. But there is interest there, especially with sparklers. And being asked questions, when do we get to do that, Daddy? Back to Trump, and I thought it was celebrated, the 250, in the most extraordinary way possible, the way President Trump would do it, as expected. I mean, it was over the top. Big deal. But the fireworks show and the backdrop and the imagery, no one was talking about, but maybe they were. I wasn't watching MS Now. The reflecting pod or any of that. The other thing, I guess there were some white nationalists or something kind of stalking the metro in D.C. We got to stop taking these people seriously. It sort of led to news all day yesterday. I saw it on repeat, and it there was like too much media coverage of it. And I'm not really sure, like, what's the point here? Like, why are they, what's the statement here? Why are we doing this now? Isn't there like another day, like Arbor Day or something, to go do white national supremacist observation day in the Washington, D.C. metro? But of course the media made it somehow connected to Trump or whatever. I don't know. And World Cup. There's a lot of World Cup news. And the red card that got revoked. And how I guess Trump called the head of FIFA. And I'm looking at, like, Politico right now, one of my screens. And on their front page, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stories about this. Do you think ever Politico's ever covered sports at any sort of at this level? But man, the inside the Beltway establishment media is getting it up for soccer. I guess it hasn't been since the Nationals won the World Series. There was a time in Washington D.C. when I got there, and this is I find just truly reprehensible. And I'm sorry if you're someone who's ever done this. They people like are from all 50 states in Washington D.C. So you get a lot of cross culture here. You get all the bad driving habits from all 50 states. You got like different bars. You got an Alabama bar, an Auburn bar, a Red Sox bar. You get the idea. Sometimes you share the bars with other schools. But one of the things they like to do, first they change their area code to 202 when they move there. But they become like maybe lifelong Cubs or Braves or Rangers fan, and these guys who work on the Hill or whatever will declare their allegiance to the Washington Nationals. And they also all of a sudden love some soccer. So it's just one of those sports towns. My only thing I did when I moved there is I became a Redskins fan. I never was a pro football fan. If there was like an Auburn player, I'd get on board with that team. But I guess I'm talking about all this, just the scope of this is the D.C. media is like obsessed with this Trump FIFA story. And there's like stories about like U.S.-Belgian relations coming out of this and the NATO summit or whatever. Kind of, kind of humorous. On what should be otherwise be a very, very slow news day. 1819news.com. You got to see this story. So I guess they're making a movie about the mythology behind the sundown town. Looking forward to that. If you don't know, you know what the sundown town is with the sign. And if you don't know what it is, Google it. But for most of my life, the city of Coleman, Alabama was the mythology there was, hey, it's a sundown town. Still, there's still a sign up, and no one goes to Coleman if you're not white. Somehow they built the interstate through there in the 1970s. Maybe it was the 80s, early 80s. But there's no proof that, like, there was ever a sundown town sign, but there are people who believe that it is still there. So I guess we're going to get a movie about this, which ought to be just absolutely historically spot on accurate. Y'all better watch out. I haven't checked this morning. Price of crude oil, $68 a barrel. About a buck high. That $67 a barrel sweet spot is where it needs to be, is what I am told by a lot of economists. Well, a lot of three economists. Gas prices feel like they're coming down. We did some traveling, as I mentioned, over the weekend. $3 a gallon in places. They got down below $2 in some places in Georgia. Just didn't need gas. Also, shout out to our friend, House Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter. We went up, the 5-year-old and I, Benjamin, went to his annual 4th of July event. A couple of baseball games in Atlanta, obligatory. And then spent the night in Rome, Georgia. And went to Henniger, Alabama, which, if you're not familiar, it's a very northeastern corner of the state. And the House Speaker and the Senate Pro Tem, Steve Livingston, do this 4th of July breakfast every year. And then they have I think it's the Sand Mountain Potato Festival or something. And there's a parade, and there's bouncy houses and castles, and there's vendors and a train that kind of you can pay to ride. Oh, by the way, speaking of rides for kids, we went to Six Flags over Georgia. How many of you in your formative years ever went to Six Flags over Georgia on a school trip or whatever? So we went, and the five-year-old's not tall enough for any of the rides. It was one roller coaster he could ride. But we had time to kill. We had all day on Friday. It was a Friday. So we got up there Thursday after the show. I'm telling you guys, we left as soon as the show was over, before the music had stopped playing. And we got to the game as they were singing the national anthem and made one stop for gas. A little bit of traffic. But anyway, I digress. The Six Flags over Georgia on Friday. People don't go to amusement parks anymore, do they? And I was expecting, I don't know, 3rd of July, people out, people off, kids out of school. Kind of a throwaway day. Before the 4th, maybe they're traveling. I don't know. And there's just no lines. It's all the same. I mean, not the same rides. They still got a few of the rides, if you're familiar with it. It's the Mindbender and the Scream Machine. The Wanaga Mind Train, whatever. But there are no lines. Now, it rained that afternoon, and we left a little bit, like around 2 o'clock. We got there when the park opened, and then it was just, I remember in the 90s, just to ride one of those rides could be like 45 minutes to an hour. And it got me thinking, like, what's changed in the culture? Why don't we just don't do this anymore. We don't go to these amusement parks. It was like people my age with their kids. And it wasn't young. You know, now maybe there's some kind of chaperone rule or something. I don't know. But just not a lot of teenagers or 20-somethings there. I mean, everybody's on their phone now, streaming or playing video games. The other thing, I saw my friend Scott Buttram up at Nathaniel Ledbetter breakfast, not dinner, but maybe it's youth sports, travel ball. That's his speculation. But like the way we have fun in America, the way we get that endorphin rush or a dopamine hit or whatever, it's totally changed. And things that you used to do that I just assume kids do now, they don't do that anymore. Maybe that's the old in me coming out. But we're increasingly becoming connected to technology. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. Hit us up on that text line. We'll get to your text. On the other side, this is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. You're still on the line. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Jennifer Fiddler coming up in the next segment. Dale Jackson from WVNN in Huntsville and Parker Griffith, our official Democrat response in the 11 o'clock hour. How does it feel knowing the superpower civilization surely lasts 220 to 250 years and we successfully exceeded that? If you could keep it, is what they say, right? We'll see. I don't know. I mean, like, I think we would, the United States would continue to exist. Would it ever not be the superpower? Who would emerge? I'll see here. Okay, put a dozen grosses of bottle rockets in a short vase or something to hold them and drop a few sparklers its size and watch the bottle rockets fly. And then a named texter writes, those so-called white supremacists were darker than most so-called whites. Not sure it was completely organic. A lot of speculation that it was the feds or something, but I don't know. It was just fascinating to CNN. Butter knife. If we had a bunch of BLM protesters marching like that on Saturday, I promise you Fox News would still be covering it as our headline story. So would 106.5 and 1819 News. I think you did have some BLM protesters and some, I know you had some pro-Palestinian protesters. So I reject that. This butter knife was, this was done in a way to make it seem like Donald Trump's 4th of July celebration was some kind of get together for white supremacists. And you know that. You know, you wouldn't have not have known that the BLM protesters and the pro-Palestine protesters marching, you wouldn't have known about them because the news didn't cover them like they covered. So just cool your jets there, son. Keith. Right. It's disturbing to me that the mainstream media spent more time talking about the funeral in Iran yesterday morning than they did the 250 celebration in D.C. I saw that. I saw, like, they were live on the scene. Who's asking for that kind of coverage? Man, I'd really like to see about the 250th anniversary of America, but don't get in the way of my Ayatollah Khomeini funeral procession. A named texter, I looked Saturday at the Yale GOP Facebook page, and it was all about patriotism and Go American Freedom for the Fourth. I thought to myself, why didn't I check the Alabama Democratic Facebook page? Crickets. Tells me all I need to know. Our friend Tabitha Iser posted a photo outdoors in red, white, and blue boots, and it reminded me of Chuck Schumer grilling raw hot dogs. Unnamed texter used to drive back and forth to Auburn every weekend in the late 80s. There was definitely a white sign with black letters that said, don't let the sun sit on your, you know, white ass in black ass in Coleman. It was about 3x5 in there for years. But no one ever, there's no photographic evidence of this. And, like, if you were driving in the late 80s, you would have, why would you be driving through Coleman? Where would you be coming from? Unless it was somewhere, like, really local, because you would be taking Interstate 65 and it goes around Coleman. Like, if you're driving from Holly Pond or, I don't know, where would you be coming from? She would go through Coleman, Alabama to get to Auburn. Squirrel Vereen. I went to Six Flags over Georgia several times because I was living in the northern part of the state back in the 1980s and not since 1991. In the early 80s, still had the Southern Motif, the Thunder River, the Chevy Show, the Bird Puppet Heckling, the Monster Plantation, the Antique Cars. My favorite ride was a small roller coaster. It was next to the slightly bigger mine train, but that was gone by the late 80s. Well, Thunder River is still there, and we rode it twice and got soaked, and it was pretty miserable because then it rained. But Thunder River is still there. Chevy Show not there. Monster Plantation is... the roller coasters look fascinating, but like I said... We weren't quite old enough or big enough, I should say, for the 5-year-old to get on those rides. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. We shall return. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Now, if your leather jacket means to you what this hat means to me, Then I get. Promise me, son, not to do the things I've done. Walk away from trouble if you can. Now, it won't mean you're weak if you turn the other cheek. I hope you're old enough to understand.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the show, all you got to do is text me. Still to come, Del Jackson, WVNN in Huntsville, radio host there, and with the Yellowhammer News. And in the 11 o'clock hour, the official Democrat response on the Jeff Moore Show, we'll hear from Parker Griffiths. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Joining us now here at the Fairhope Bureau, we do this every other Monday. Glad to be joined by my state representative, Jennifer Fiddler, here. Representative, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Jeff, how are you doing?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for coming by. Thanks for making time. We appreciate it. Well, let's start with this. You went up to D.C. You saw it with your own eyes. What were your takeaways?
Well, it was a quick trip. I mean, we literally flew into Reagan. On a Sunday, we stayed in Arlington and went over to the White House, had a White House briefing there, and with some of the, like, Secretary Brooke Rollins, SBA Commissioner Kelly Loeffler, and Secretary of Education, Ms. McCann. And just quick trip, came back. We had all our leadership stuff happening in Arlington. And so then flew out the next day. We went to the Israel embassy. We went to the Taiwan embassy. We had two receptions there, one on Sunday night and one on Monday night. So just kind of a quick trip. And I hate that I wasn't able to come Monday, but that, yes, you know, that last Monday morning, I couldn't step out just because we had programming going on and we were moving to the White House and going through their security that Monday morning.
Did you see any of the, well, you had to go see some of the 250 stuff there, right?
We went to the Great American Fair.
Right.
We did do that and I really enjoyed it. They had a huge Ferris wheel, just beautiful, of course, the carousel. And then on the National Mall, every state had an opportunity to showcase the best of the best.
We've heard of, I don't know if you're aware of the controversy here. Your colleague Craig Lipscomb, not a fan of our display.
I did see his comments, and so you know, I had to check out Alabama just of course to see, you know, what was going on over there. And it was not as well done as some of the other states, and all, and it, what, I wouldn't call it embarrassing.
Really?
I mean, I would not call it embarrassing. There was a good pictorial display. Some of the other states that were more popular for people and guests to come through were more immersive. For example, New York came in. I thought this was one of the better ones. And then there were lines in some of them I just didn't go through. So I imagine they were really good. But New York had us had take a picture in front of the I Love New York sign. And then they had like a little scavenger thing that you go through in their booth. And at the end of their booth, which was this, you know, it's not a very big booth. I mean, it's probably, what, 20 by 20 or 30 by 30. It's just they're not big. But when you got through their booth, you had your picture for your souvenir of the picture they took in front of the I Love New York and for, you know, you and every member of your group. So, and I posted one of those on my Facebook. But, you know, and then there were more types of pictorial type opportunities in some of those more immersive states. Ours, we had a, where we were able to take a picture with Governor Ivey. So, in Alabama. So there was
a cardboard cutout.
Yes.
I mean, it looked a little rest area-ish or welcome center-ish to me from the videos that were out there. But I don't know what should have been there. I guess what was missing, maybe football or something like culturally, you know.
Well, I mean, there were pictures of all the important things. And I mean, Alabama football, from what I remember, was up there.
Really?
Yeah. But there, it just wasn't as immersive. Like some of them had like park bench. You could sit on the park bench, take a picture of something that was famous in the area or well known in the area. I mean, there was a tent over in Colorado or Wyoming that you could actually get in the tent, take a picture. There were park rangers meeting you. Now we were given out the Alabama Sweet Trails napkins or cloth like bandanas. And it showed where people could come to the sweet trails or to our parks. So those were good. Those were great giveaways.
I was up at the speakers thing on the 4th of July, and this was a topic of conversation. Like, why didn't we do better?
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, it could have been better, but I mean, it wasn't embarrassing.
It was the chattering class, you know, the usual folks there. And I just thought that, I don't know, maybe we didn't really think this out hard enough, or maybe we should have come up with a better plan, but I don't know.
It was a great opportunity to showcase and tell people about Alabama and our story and really get them to be immersive with our beaches or, you know, our caves or, you know, the cool things that we've got, the NASA program, you know, space. It could have been more immersive. I mean,
well, here's the thing. And, you know, we talk about Alabama and the reputation it has all the time. And I think you really got a dose of it when these visitors came through here during the World Cup, that the perception of Alabama is not the reality. And, like, we haven't done enough as a state to, like, really dispel these preconceived notions about the state. Like, we haven't done enough to say this isn't – it's not like what you see in the movies from the 60s, 50s, or whatever in the last century. It's not that kind of a state at all. And so you always see these, like, you know, foreign visitors from other countries who – really think they're going to see like abject poverty and banjos and I don't know, one tooth wonders or whatever. It's just not what this is. That's just not how it is in America. And like, these are the opportunities to kind of try to put that to bed, and we got to take advantage of them.
Well, like I said, it could have been more immersive. It could have been, we could have taken advantage of some of our, you know, nicer things around the state.
But I don't know how you do it in a 30 by 30 setting in the room, but you got to be aware, have some situational awareness. So like, what is the average person from like Michigan who's visiting the capital for the 250th anniversary think of Alabama? Or like, you know, you put yourself in someone else's shoes and don't just like rest area it in and, you know, and have a display of like a trail maps or whatever. I don't know, but that's gotta be in the front of the mind here.
Yeah. Well, and I have to say, like Texas, one of the thing that they had when you walk through their door in Texas, you know, everything's bigger in Texas. They had about a 7.5 foot real cowboy with a hat greeting you and saying, hello, welcome to Texas. I mean, that's what we're talking about. And then you walk over and then you have, you know, a huge cowboy you can take a picture with, or you could have taken a picture with him. Then you had the thing in the Alamo that was in 3D, and you had the cars sticking out of the painted cars sticking out of the floor, and they were real cars sticking out of the floor. Those were type of the immersive stuff that was in these other states.
I didn't know this was going to be a thing.
Yeah.
No one really knew that there was going to be this, you know, America's Fair 250. And I guess if the public had been more aware of it, had been on the radar more, maybe they would have done a better job.
Maybe. We just weren't as immersive, but I would not call it embarrassing. What I would call embarrassing is those states that did not show up at all.
Oh, really?
And I had some of my, okay, so this event I went to, it's one woman legislator that's conservative,
right?
Invited to this 50, you know, so it's 50 states, 50 legislators. And we were there, and I had some of these classmates of mine so upset because their state didn't show up. Their state did not show up. They did not have anything to show from their state except they put two chairs in there just because, you know, they needed to have a place to sit down when you went to.
They just.
Rhode Island or, yeah, you know,
like,
Maine.
It's just like, oh, we're not playing this Donald Trump glamour game or whatever it is.
They were so upset, and rightly, because some of those were our founding, you know, states.
13 colonies, right?
Yes. Yeah, they were the one or two of those 13 colonies. So how terrible would that be? Your state don't even show up. You're right there. You're 2 hours from there. You're, you know.
That's just crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I guess everything's so politicized now, so it's probably not surprising.
But 250 years ago, this was, you know, some of the, those, one of those, two of those 13 colonies, and you just don't show up.
You got back very shortly thereafter. How did you spend your 4th of July holiday?
I went to the 4th of July parade, the little big parade in Magnolia Springs. They have a coolest parade, right, you guys, across the state. All the folks, you know, gather together along Oak Street in downtown Magnolia Springs, and they have a 4th of July parade. That is fabulous, and there's many people along that Oak Street that will have in-home parties, invite people over for Independence Day for picnic, hot dogs. And at the end of the parade, everyone, the community, is invited to the fire hall, to the fire department, where you may be served watermelon by the mayor of Magnolia Springs and all the city councilmen. So I did that, and then we as a family get together. We went to our river, you know, we had some land on Fish River. And so we just hang out at the river and spend the day in the water in the cold creek, and went to the fireworks on Fish River. Mr. Charles Renfro historically has done all the fireworks on Fish River. You can get your boat, go out, and they bring in a barge and do a fabulous fireworks show. I mean, I grew up going to Fairhope, and before the fountain was there in the Rose Garden, it was just a grassy knoll, and our family would just get a blanket and throw it out there on that grassy knoll and watch the fireworks in Fairhope. So historically, I grew up going to all the fireworks, and then as public works director, of course, I was there every 4th of July and did the fireworks there. But on the river, able to, you know, be in the water and swimming in Cold Creek and watch those fireworks above you, that's a pretty cool experience. So I've started doing that in the last several years.
Yeah, the Fairhope fireworks have gotten, and we've only been homeowners here since 2021, gotten bigger. Like, more and more people are coming. And I don't know if it's just because it's a destination, or, you know, you just have a lot more people living here too, right? But the parking and all that, you just sense it more than you did. And there's like you said, there's the Fish River fireworks, and every little town has their fireworks thing. But more and more people are showing up to one here.
It's gotten crowded. I mean, you know, I always knew the little spots to go to where it wasn't, you know, I could get in and get out, and you know the back roads and that sort of thing. But it's just, it's more enjoyable for us being in the water.
I wasn't here Saturday. My wife was, she goes and jogs a little bit, takes the children out on the stroller. People were roping off spots on the day before, on Friday, for the 4th of July fireworks here. Like, it's the Auburn tailgate or something.
Yeah.
It's dedication there, right?
Yeah. They.
It's a good fireworks show, but I don't know if it's like day before good, you know?
Well, I mean, it's, I'm sure it's, I mean, I hadn't seen it in a while, but that, you know, historically we've always, you know, shot them off on the end of the pier. And it's, you always have to get that big permit about a year ahead of time for the fireworks. It's almost a year ahead of time you have to get the permit to shoot them off.
Federal government or something?
I can't remember what we went through. But the fire marshal, the fire department, you know, took care of that for the city of Fairhope.
That sounds exhausting.
It's just 10 months ahead of time purchasing. I always had to get that together. And just, it was a little bit of an ordeal to make sure.
I guess
sure
it's a bigger draw than it's ever been here. And we went, and we know, like you said, I mean, it's not far from where we're sitting here, to where to park and where to kind of, you know, easy in, easy out kind of spots, you know, and that's fine. I just how people are now like getting out there hours and hours ahead of time and like roping off a section like they're like it's the pregame for an Alabama game or something, you know?
Well, barbecuing and hanging out and, you know, just enjoying the day. And
it's a hot one, but I guess down by the bay, maybe you get a few degrees knocked off of that. But I'm just every time I every year it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, we didn't come last year, but we came the year before. And we like I said, we know where to go now. And that's still kind of true. More people are figuring it out. But it's funny when you're on the bay there and you see all these other fireworks shows going off in the background there. Every city's, I guess, got their own. You can see all the way to Mobile clear across the bay.
Mm-hmm. Theodore, Sarah Lynn, and all that over there. That's really cool. Grand Hotel shoots off some. And I mean, we get to see that too from where we are. So
everybody's got to have their bigger and better fireworks display. Let's take a quick break here. We got Jennifer Fiddler, my state representative, sitting in with us for one more segment here. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Working hard underneath the mountain moonlight. Hold her up tight. Make a little loving. A little turn of loving on a Mason-Dixon line. Fits my life. Oh, so right. My Dixieland and I.
More, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning, 251-343-0106. Still with us here for just a few more minutes. My state lawmaker, state representative, Jennifer Fiddler. So the business of the legislature, you're still having to stay engaged here. A couple of events, what you been up to?
I did want to make sure everybody knew. We did have a Ag Advisory Committee board meeting. A lot of the Ag Committee met. Regarding forestry retention and pulp mill. There was a resolution passed through the House and the Senate regarding that there would be a committee formed and look at how we can retain and help some of the forestry issue that's going on. A lot of our foresters or our timber industry have got loads and loads of wood out there, and they're not moving it. And you guys out, the consumers, not seeing much of a price break, but they're not getting an adequate price for their product and pulp, especially. And when we do away with that pulp, and we talked about, is there another way to capture that energy? You know, with our even like our data centers that are up and coming, they need a lot of energy. Is there a way we can modify what we've got out there and some of these big paper mills that are going out of business here in the state? It's such a huge industry, economic engine for the state of Alabama, and we just trying to stay on top of making sure that industry, that economy stays strong. We had a coastal event on Dolphin Island. We do that every year. We get a report from Commissioner Chris Blankenship. We go out, we able to see the whole port of Mobile and how the pilots actually, how they move the ships up the channel, you know, go out and get the ships.
It's not an easy job.
You know, I guess it's not. They have to do it all. You know, they stay there in their cabin, and then they go out, pilot, and they get on the ship, and they bring it in through the ship channel. So, and there's so many ships out there waiting to get in. And some of you fishermen, y'all know about them because you're out there fishing around them. That's some great fishing out there. So anyway, there's a little, I don't know, seminar, educational session, that sort of thing we do every year, and I get to go over there and do that and talk to those folks and see the educational stuff that's going on, like even with the sand that's being put next to Dolphin Island and that roadway out there to try to beef up that, you know, island a little bit, you know, with the dredge material.
Right.
We saw that. I don't know. We're also, I'm meeting with the new delegation members, you know, trying to just make sure we get to know each other, get us, you know, get some
we just got
topics.
Three, I guess.
Well, we've got
Terry Waters.
Terry Waters, Daniel Duggar. We have not met with
the old Easterbrook seat.
The Easterbrook seat. I have not met him. I'm looking forward to doing that, by the way. Hadn't reached out to him yet. But, yeah, we've met with Representative-elect, those other two positions.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we appreciate you coming by, and we'll do this again in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Jeff, and happy birthday, America. It's a great time to be serving.
State Representative Jennifer Fiddler there. Let's get a break in here. We shall return. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. People.